It's great to hear such fruitful conversations, and I encourage you to continue your conversations after the service outside over morning tea. But now we've come to a time of reading, so I'll be reading to you John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles.
John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Thanks, Caleb, and hi everyone. My name's Mitch, and I want to echo Albie's welcome, especially if it's your first time with us. It's great to have you here. I've got to tell you something about myself. I'm a Bunnings shopaholic. I love shopping at Bunnings. Love a good bit of DIY, and I reckon a Bunnings voucher is an excellent Christmas gift. And I don't know if you've noticed all the Bunnings ads on TV at the moment, this time of year. I might get you guys up the back to control those slides for me. But the Bunnings ads, I quite like them because at this time of year in particular, they get staff members up to talk about what Christmas means to them, what Christmas looks like for them. And I wonder what you would say if someone asked you, what is Christmas all about? What's the main thing at Christmas? Well, on the Bunnings commercials, it turns out that lowest prices are just the beginning. That Christmas is about more than that. And what you find is that a lot of the staff that are interviewed on these commercials will say something about family. Christmas is about family, about spending time with family. And I reckon that if we did a survey here in Roseville, we'd find a similar answer, that most people would say Christmas is about family. But I'm guessing that for most of us, family is a bit of a mixed bag. That families can be both the best thing in the world, but also the hardest thing in the world. On the one hand, our families are such a good gift from God. We're thankful for our families, we feel a bond with them. But on the other hand, there can be such conflict within families, can't there? In fact, there are some family members who we don't get along with at all, we don't even want to see them. Even if your family is one that's generally pretty healthy and happy, it still probably doesn't live up to the ideal. So is Christmas all about family? Well, you're probably expecting me to say no, it's about something else. But I think when we turn to the Bible, what we see is that Christmas is in fact about family. But maybe not in the way that we might at first think. And so in order to understand how Christmas is about family, we first need to understand Jesus. We need to understand him rightly. The problem is when we leave Jesus out of the mix. Now, we once made a quiche and we forgot to put the cheese in and it was terrible. You couldn't call it a quiche. It was like scrambled eggs in a tart. It was terrible. And to try and understand Christmas without Jesus is like leaving out the key ingredient. We just can't. Now, the bit of the Bible that Caleb just read for us is from John's Gospel. This is John's eyewitness account of Jesus' life. And here, the Apostle John, he tells us some key things that we need to know about Jesus. And it's an astounding picture when you look at it. When we begin to see just who Jesus is and what he's done, we see that Christmas is even bigger, even better than what we would have first thought. Now, the tragedy here would be to miss this, to gloss over it or to ignore what John is saying here, to let another Christmas go by without really giving serious thought to what it's all about, to Jesus. And that's a problem for all of us, isn't it? We can get so busy at Christmas time celebrating with presents and food that we can actually forget what it's all about. And so we're going to spend the next 15 minutes or so having a look at this first chapter of John together. And in it, we'll see three key things about Jesus. And as we look at those three key things, we'll see what Christmas has to do with family. All right, so the first key thing we see here about Jesus is that Jesus is the Word who creates. Jesus is the Word, he's the one who creates. If you've got a Bible there in front of you, it'd be great to have it open to John chapter 1. And if you look at the first sentence there, John starts with these words. He says, in the beginning, in the beginning. Now, John's pulled this straight out of the first book of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis, where we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who was there in the beginning? Before time began, God was. Who made everything? God did. That's what Genesis tells us. But here in John chapter 1, John expands that picture from Genesis. And we see that there was someone with God at the beginning. The Word. In the beginning, says John, was the Word. Who's the Word? Well, this is God, the Son. This is Jesus. When was he made? Well, he wasn't. This is Jesus, God the Son, who's eternally existed with the Father. Look at verse 1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that might sound like a bit of a paradox, but what John is saying here is that the Word, Jesus, God the Son, is distinct from God the Father. He's not the same as the Father, but he's not less than the Father. Now, straight off the bat, this is a huge picture of Jesus. Jesus is God. He's the eternally existing Son of the Father. And so why does John call him the Word? Why does he call Jesus the Word? Well, we need to think back again to Genesis chapter 1 and to see how God made the world. You see, he didn't use his hands to shape it. He didn't use tools. He used his Word. God spoke and things came into being. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be trees and land and animals and people, and they came into being. God relates to creation through his Word. He creates through his Word. Now, coming back to John chapter 1, in the same way that God created the universe through his Word, here John tells us that the Father created through his Son, through Jesus. And so in that sense, Jesus is the Word. He's the agent of creation. He's the one who made it all. Again, this is a huge picture of Jesus. We might not understand exactly how everything came into being, whether there was a Big Bang or whether it was multiple Big Bangs, I think that might be the latest theory, or whether it was some other way. We don't yet understand that. But the point here is that it was all made through Jesus. Look with me at verse 3 of John chapter 1. Through him, all things were made. Whether it's the furthest galaxies or the mysteries of subatomic particles, Jesus made it all. He is the Word by whom the Father created the universe. Jesus is the creator. And so verse 4, he is the source of life. He's the one who gives life to everything. So Jesus is the Word who creates. That's a huge thing to say about Jesus. And what it means is that the universe declares Jesus' greatness. So when you marvel at a sunset or a mountain peak or some amazing sea creature in a nature documentary, or when you look at the latest pictures from the James Webb Space Telescope, it's right to acknowledge Jesus as the one who made it all. Allow your picture of Jesus to grow when you look around you at the things that he's made. Jesus is God the Son, eternally existing, equal with the Father. He's the Word who creates. That's the first thing we see about Jesus here. Jesus is the Word who creates. The second thing that we see is that Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light who reveals. Have a look with me now at verse 4 again. John says, "In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, if you're paying attention there, John's actually saying it's the life within Jesus that is the light. But later on in John's gospel, Jesus will go on to say, "I am the life, and I am the light." In other words, Jesus is the source of life and light. Jesus is the light. And if you look down to verse 9, here in chapter 1, John says the same thing. He says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." Jesus is the light who has come into the world. He's the light that has shone into our world. Now, I often go walking in the evenings because, I don't know, I like walking in the cool of the evening, and it's I've got things to do during the day, so there's no chance to walk. But at our place where we live, the footpaths are terrible. And so I often walk on the road. It's probably one of the reasons I walk at night, because there's fewer cars on the road. But if I walk on the footpath, I'm bound to trip over, because the street lighting in some areas is so terrible, you just can't see the path. But if I was to take a bright torch with me and to turn it on, immediately it would illuminate the path. I'd be able to see what is there on the path, or the bumps in the footpath. That's what a light does. It makes things visible. It shows us what is there. It shows us what's true. And in that sense, Jesus is the light of the world. He shows us, he reveals to us what is there, what is true. He shows us what it is that we don't see. He shows us what God is like. Jesus is the light who reveals God to us. And how did he do that? By becoming a man, by becoming one of us. Look with me down to verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." That's the Christmas story, isn't it? The Word became flesh. God the Son, the Creator, the one who's eternally existed, God himself took on humanity. He came into the world that he made by being born to a real mum, in a real stable, in a real place, at a real time. And what did people see when they looked at him? They saw more than a man. Look again at verse 14. John says, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So when the shepherds and the wise men saw Jesus as a baby and a toddler, they were looking at God. When the people of Judea and the nations around came to see Jesus teach and heal, they were looking at God. When the soldiers saw Jesus breathing his last on the cross, they were looking at God. And when people saw him risen from the dead 3 days later, they were looking at God. They were looking at the Word, the eternal Son who had come from the Father to show us the Father. Jesus is the light who revealed God to us by taking on human flesh, by becoming a man. Now, the words that John uses here, he's chosen them very carefully. Now, we might miss it at first, but if we were first century Jews reading this, it would have been clear to us what John is in fact saying. And when he talks about Jesus making his dwelling among us, verse 14, about seeing his glory full of grace and truth, these are words that are used of God in the Old Testament. And John wants to show us, here in John's Gospel, he shows us that this same God, the God of the Old Testament, the one that no one could see and live, this same God has now been seen. Look with me down now to verse 17. John says, "For the law was given through Moses." In other words, God revealed himself in words to Moses by giving the law. But then he says here, "Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Jesus is the light who shone into our world to reveal God to us, not just with words, but in the flesh. And later on in John's Gospel, Jesus will go on to say, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." It's astounding. Jesus has made God known to us. And what that means is that Jesus has got to be at the center of our knowledge of God. If we try to find any other way of knowing God, we're bound to fail, because Jesus is central to the way we think about God, the way we approach God, the way we relate to God. And it also means that whatever the answer is to pain and suffering in our world, I don't think there's a simple answer, but whatever the answer is to pain in our lives, that Jesus is at the center of that answer. God does not ignore our suffering. Have a look at it. He took on flesh. He experienced himself the pain of human suffering. So we've seen two things here. Jesus is the Word who creates, and he's the light who reveals. The last thing we see about Jesus here is that he is the Son who brings us to the Father. Jesus is the Son who brings us into God's family. Now, you would think that when God entered the world, when he took on flesh, when the Father sent his Son to become a man, that the world would have welcomed him with open arms and worshipped him. But that's not what happened, was it? Look with me at verse 10. "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." Jesus entered the world that he made, but not only did the world fail to recognize him, we failed to receive him. We rejected him. Now, I was speaking to a guy a while back who said to me, I would believe in God if he proved himself to me, if he did something to prove himself. And I wonder if you can relate to that. But the truth here is that God did do something. The Father sent his Son to come and live among us, to make God known to us. But the world rejected him. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Not everyone rejected Jesus. Some did recognize who he was. Some did receive him. Look with me at verse 12. "To all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." That is why Jesus came into the world. That's why the Father sent his Son to make himself known, so that we could be part of his family. And that is why we can say that Christmas is about family. More than our own families, it's about God's family. John tells us in verse 18, look at verse 18, before the world even existed, God the Father was in closest relationship with his Son, a perfect, complete love. And the Father so desired to share his love for the Son with us, and the Son so desired that we would share in his love for the Father, that he came into the world, sent by the Father, to reveal the Father to us, to call us into God's family. Not on the fringes, like a cousin or a distant auntie or uncle. No, the promise still today is that those who receive Jesus, those who believe in him, who trust him, will be brought into God's family. Now, if you could pick any family to be part of for Christmas, I wonder who you would choose. Hopefully it'd be your own family, but leaving them aside, imagine you are part of the British royal family. Imagine spending Christmas with them. Imagine the lavish presents. Imagine the spread that they'd put on for lunch. To be part of God's family blows that out of the water. To be loved by God the Father, even as he loves his own Son, that is worth everything. And I think that's worth remembering if you find it difficult to pray. Who is it that you're praying to? You're praying to a Father who so loved you that he wanted to share the love that he has for his Son with you. That is a Father who delights to hear us, who longs for us to speak to him, who delights to give us the things that we ask for. Well, there can be plenty to grumble about at Christmas time, whether it's strained family relationships or holiday traffic, that really gets to me, whether it's the heat. If you catch yourself grumbling this year at Christmas time, why not remind yourself of exactly who it is that you are? If you've received Jesus, then you are part of God's family. Give thanks to God for that. But being in God's family, it's not a once-a-year Christmas time thing. There are some relatives who we only see once, maybe twice a year. But our close family, it's not a once-a-year thing. If the only serious thought that you give to God is at Christmas or Easter, can I suggest that you might not be in God's family yet? It may be that you haven't yet received Jesus, that you haven't trusted him. Maybe you don't know enough about him, in which case we would love to help you explore Jesus further. But don't let another Christmas go by without recognizing the real meaning of Christmas. Don't let the opportunity slip by to put your trust in Jesus, to become part of God's family. Yes, I want to say Christmas is about family. But it's bigger and better than just our families. It's about how God the Father sent his Son into the world, the Word, the light, into our world to show us what he is like and to call us into his family. And that's worth giving thanks and celebrating. Why don't we pray now about that? God, our Father, thank you that you so loved us, that you sent your Son into the world to make yourself known to us, to call us into your family. Thank you that in taking on human flesh, Jesus died the death that we deserve in order to reconcile us to you. Please, Father, would you enlarge our picture of Jesus so that we might grasp the depths of your love for us. Amen.